You know, it's often said that the only thing constant in life is change, that the only thing that we can have any certainty about is the fact that things will, in fact, change. And certainly, in a physical sense, if we consider some of the things that have happened just in the last decade, we can certainly see evidence of this. The Soviet Union collapsed. For those of us of our generation, this was, you know, this great enemy that we learned about and that America had spent much of this century dealing with. And before our very eyes in the last decade, this great nation collapsed. I say great, not a political statement. It's huge in that sense. The Berlin Wall, which was this great symbol of the animosity between two sides in Germany, before our very eyes, literally on television, the Berlin Wall came into crumbles and was destroyed. In a business sense, the stock market has reached new levels that people didn't think were reasonable, didn't think it was possible for the stock market to reach certain levels. And it seems like things are changing all the time in a business sense as well. And perhaps most fundamentally for everybody in this room today, technology is revolutionizing American life, every aspect of American life. It's revolutionizing the way businesses conduct affairs. It's revolutionizing the way government behaves. It's revolutionizing the way schools, as those of you who have some sense of what's going on with technology in the classroom, it's changing the way education is conducted in America. And of course, it's having a significant impact in the home, as technology allows us to do more things and do lots of different types of things and to do things more quickly and to do things more efficiently. So for those of us living in America as the 20th century draws to a close, it seems to me that there aren't many things immune from change. It seems to me that the one lesson that a lot of us have been forced to learn is that life is constantly changing, and in fact on a daily basis. Robert Frost wrote that most of the change we think we see in life is due to truths being in and out of favor. But of course, we recognize a single source for life's ultimate truths, and that is the Bible. What I want to suggest to you this evening is that the Bible teaches us about the certainties of life, and there are some. There may not be many, but there are some. So this evening, I want to share with you some Bible teachings about a few things. I want to suggest or share with you five certainties for believers. Wait, I've got that backwards. Five certainties for unbelievers. I want to share with you five certainties for believers. And then I want to share with you one thing that is uncertain for everyone. And by the way, this believers, unbelievers, I randomly chose those terms. You can view it as Christians and non-Christians, or those who are righteous and those who are unrighteous. And I want to approach it this way. I want to sort of steal Mike Marsden's approach from Wednesday evening. I've got lots of scripture, and I just want to move from one scripture to the next, and I don't really have a whole lot of commentary that I want to provide, which I'm sure many of you are delighted to hear. I don't have a whole lot of commentary that I want to offer on these, because I think that the scriptures are so compelling when it comes to these points. So, if you will, join with me in a quick journey through the Bible to try and establish what are some things that are certain? If everything else in our lives, it seems, is constantly changing, what are some things that we know are certain? Well, I want to start by sharing with you five things that are certain for people that are not believers. People that are not believers specifically in Jesus Christ. And the first one that I've identified is one thing that's certain for unbelievers is that they will have to leave their earthly possessions. There is no question about that. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verses 6 through 10 I want to highlight. There is great gain in godliness with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and hurtful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced their hearts with many pangs. Notice Paul says, those who want to be rich, those who desire to be rich will fall into the temptation. And the tragedy, of course, of that is that everyone's going to leave their earthly possessions behind. And there's no question about that. The second one up here. Another thing that's certain for those who are not believers is that their conduct will be exposed. If you turn to the Old Testament, I'm attempting to demonstrate here that I'm willing to go into the Old Testament from time to time. In the book of Numbers, in the 32nd chapter, I'm going to read verses 20 through 23. And this is Moses, well, as you can see, this is Moses talking. So Moses said to them, "If you will do this, if you will take up arms to go before the Lord for the war, and every armed man of you will pass over the Jordan before the Lord, until he has driven out his enemies before him, and the land is subdued before the Lord, then after that you shall return, and be free of obligation to the Lord and to Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if you will not do so," in other words, if you will not follow the Lord, "behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." There's no question that those who are not believers, their conduct will be exposed. The third thing I've identified is God's judgment is certain for those who are not believers. If you turn over to Ecclesiastes, where we've been reading lately, in the 12th chapter, the last two verses, the writer says, "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil." God's judgment is certain for people who are not believers. Number four, separation from the righteous is certain. Turn to Matthew 25, verses 31 through 33. Jesus says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep at his right hand, but the goats at the left." Another thing that is certain for people who will not believe in Christ is that they will not be in the same category as those who are believers in Christ. They will be separated from those who are found to be righteous. And then the fifth thing that I've identified that is certain for unbelievers is eternal punishment. If you look in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 5 through 10. "This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be made worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering, since indeed God deems it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant rest with us to you who are afflicted, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance upon those who do not know God and upon those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They shall suffer the punishment of eternal destruction and exclusion from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might, when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at in all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed." Notice verse 8, he will come inflicting vengeance on those who don't know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. This is not a matter that is up for discussion. This is not a subject that will change in terms of its accuracy based on whether or not Bill Gates comes out with a new piece of software in the next 3 months. This is not an issue that is flexible depending on whether or not the global warming accelerates or whether the hole really is in the ozone. This is not negotiable. It is certain that those who will not believe on Christ, who will not put on Christ, have an eternal punishment waiting for them. This isn't a pleasant thing, especially for myself. Generally speaking, when I prepare a lesson, I don't like to deal with these types of things just because it's not as fun. But the reality is that it is precisely that, is the reality. It's God's word. That for those who will not believe on him, there's an eternal punishment that's coming. It's not pleasant, but it's certain. Well, what about some pleasant things? What are some certainties for those who will believe? Well, I've identified five things. There's probably 55, but here's five for now. Number one is God's love is certain. Let's look over at Romans in the 8th chapter, verses 35 through 39. This is a fairly well-known passage. We read, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Again, this isn't a a promise that we'll never have difficulties. It's not a promise that we won't have to deal with principalities. What it is a promise, though, is that those things won't separate us from God's love. So one thing that we can bank on is God's love if we are one who puts on Christ. A second thing that we can be certain about for believers is that there is a solid foundation that we can enjoy. If you look, turn over to Isaiah in the 28th chapter and verses 14 through 16. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scoffers who rule this people in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we have an agreement. When the overwhelming scourge passes through, it will not come to us. For we have made lies our refuge, and in falsehood we have taken shelter. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. He who believes will not be in haste. For those people that put their faith, their belief in Christ, this cornerstone, we will be part of a solid foundation. Again, that's not something that we have to worry about the stock market taking a dive on. It's something that is certain. A third thing that is certain is Christ's acceptance of us. If you'll look over in John, in the Gospel of John in the 6th chapter, and I want to read verses 35 through 40. And hear what Jesus says. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and him who comes to me I will not cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up at the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. We can be certain that if we believe in Christ and will put on Christ, that he will draw near to us. He will accept us after our lives are over. And the fourth thing are the certainty of promises. You know, this is an especially interesting one for anybody who's, whether it's a situation in a job that you've been through with an employer that hasn't treated you properly, or myself, perhaps a client who hasn't treated you properly. You know, one thing you notice is that you can get all kinds of promises and assurances from other people, but there's nothing certain about them. People change their minds, and people are dishonest in sometimes, and sometimes the promises we get from other people, it's difficult to put a lot of confidence in. But we can be certain of the promises that God has reserved for believers. In 1 Kings 8, verses 54 through 56, we read, Now Solomon finished offering all this prayer and supplication to the Lord. He arose from before the altar of the Lord, where he had knelt with hands outstretched toward heaven. And he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he uttered by Moses his servant. Obviously, this is talking about an Old Testament promise, but I'd suggest to you that the principle is that you can have confidence in every word of a promise that God has made. And to the extent that we've read this evening about some of those promises that are reserved for believers, we can have confidence that those things are certain. And then finally, we can be certain, just as the unbeliever can be certain of an eternal punishment, we can be certain of an eternal reward if we are believers in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verses 1 and 2, we read that, For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Here indeed we groan and long to put on our heavenly dwelling. It is not a reward that is based in earth. It's not a reward that is subject to the uncertainties of life here on earth. It is a reward that is eternal. It is a reward that is promised by God, and therefore one that we can be certain about. But I said I wanted to offer also, in addition to these things, I wanted to suggest to you one thing that is uncertain tonight. And it's something that's uncertain for believers and unbelievers alike. All of us have this one uncertainty. And that uncertainty is life itself. If you read with me in James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, the writer says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and get gain, whereas you do not know about tomorrow. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Life, my friends, is uncertain. We all know that, perhaps on an intellectual level, but we can be certain that it is but a vapor. It's here for just a little while and then it's gone. And whether we're a believer in Christ or not, we're all subject to that same uncertainty of how long our lives will last, how much time we have in order to do that which is right. Mark Twain wrote, from his cradle to his grave, a man never does a single cradle to his grave. A man never does a single thing which has any first and foremost object except one, to secure peace of mind and spiritual comfort for oneself. I think that ultimately, believers and unbelievers alike, we are after peace of mind and spiritual comfort. Now, everybody tries to achieve that in slightly different ways. But unfortunately, those slightly different ways, if they're not God's way, are subject to the certainties that have been reserved for unbelievers. So this evening, I would suggest to you that the Bible spells out the certainties of life for believers and unbelievers alike. And our challenge, which is really what most of us should be concerned about fundamentally, is to hold on to the certainties that God has planned for believers. To hold on to those certainties in a changing world. And warn those around us about how to avoid the certainties that are planned for unbelievers. Because just as we can be certain of the promises that God's made for us if we'll hold true to Him, our friends around us that we see every day are subject to the certainties and the certain punishments that God has planned for them if they are not believers. We need to be moved by that and concerned by that, because it's not like the issue of whether or not we've got the latest speed modem or whether or not we've got a car that's able to perform the latest function on the air conditioning panel. Those things change every day. But the certainties of the Bible are things that are permanent. If there's somebody here this evening that has some sort of a spiritual need that we can help them with, if there's some way that we can address these things for you in some way this evening, please come forward and express them to you as we stand and sing.